Grace be to each of you, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let my people go. That message of Moses to Pharaoh still echoes in our hearts and in our minds. Let my people go. An ancient message, ever so relevant and significant for God's people who gather today. Although it kind of dates me. Anybody remember Cecil B. DeMille, Charlton Heston? Back in the day, last century. Let my people go. But such a powerful and dramatic and visual message. But I get to help tell you this day, not just the story, but the story that connects, pray God, with each of you. One of the first definitions I learned about the word history, which was a major for me in college, was that it is actually, if you spell it out, it is his story. And that makes it all personal as we begin to connect with the names, the places, the events from ages past right to today. Do you remember those names and places? Well, your pastor suggested I might give you a quiz to see who read this chapter. Check that out, huh? Okay. On this side, it's been said that Moses was a basket case anyway. But what does the word Moses mean, as we read this week? Yes. Drawn from the water. Excellent. Get these next ones right and you can sit in the front row. Over here, how about this one? What was the name of Moses' father-in-law? Jethro. Check. All right, next. As Moses was at that burning bush, we are told he was in the land of Midian. All right, these folks doing well. How about those plagues? Intriguing. And the water was turned to blood. What was the name of that river? Nile. Ooh, almost a chorus of them. That's good. And maybe finally over here, the name of Moses' sister, Miriam. Another chorus. All right. Okay, here come the bonus questions. Tell me the name of Moses' wife. Zipporah. Whoa. This is a smart crowd. All right. And we heard it in the lesson when the children of Israel came to the sea, they encamped opposite what place? Baal Zephon. My goodness. Were you the reader today? Or you read that? Yeah. Front row. Right here. It's these names and places that intrigue us. But as your pastor tells you week after week, and my joy to announce today, welcomed into the kingdom, not because we have all the answers right or everything checked off as correct, But the good news of the gospel is that God knows you. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. He calls you by name. He welcomes you into his presence this day. He gives you as gifts to your family, to those loved ones, or maybe strangers right next to you. That's the good news. But look, there's more. As we hear these lessons about these characters from ancient days, we begin to identify more completely with them. And this lesson of deliverance is sandwiched between that story of Joseph and his brothers and what's coming next week about the covenant and the commandment. But the word for the day put into our hearts is that of that word deliverance. Maybe you remember the time at confirmation classes we memorized and rehearsed that, as Luther would write, that God delivers us from sin, death, and Satan himself. What we see in the Exodus event is a foreshadowing of what is to come for all of God's people through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who delivers us from sin, those that we name in the silence of our hearts, or those that we confess to our loved one, a sister and brother in Christ, about our addictions, about our own inadequacies, about those broken relationships, about those words that we wish we could take back, but they're out there to fester both in our hearts and minds and to separate us from others. Deliverance from even death itself. So we stand by the bed of a loved one. We weep at the graveside, and yet we muster the gumption to sing, I know that my Redeemer lives. And those are the words of deliverance that become very real for us where we stand and sit this day. Not separated by sin, death, or the evil one itself that rears its head in Las Vegas, that rears its head in those situations at school or at the office where we want to have maybe our own way rather than listening to the needs of others, being in dialogue, sharing the good news. We as Christian people read this story of deliverance unashamedly through the eyes of the New Testament, so that when we hear of the children of Israel brought through the waters into the promised land, we can identify that with Christian baptism. When we hear in the ancient story about the Israelites who put blood on the doorposts and sacrificed the Passover lamb, it's no great leap of faith to speak and to sing Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And blood, yes, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. These are the circumstances from ancient days with which we so readily and importantly identify. We do not review lessons in ancient antiquity to take a quiz or to try to sort out those numbers and names and years, but we take our place in his story. That call of Moses at the burning bush, that's a personal encounter. That's not just sit back in your pew and to see what kind of lesson or story we might hear from our neighbor. But it's that Moses, admitting he was not able to speak very well, it was that Moses who heard God say, "Tell the people, I am who I am." Identifying that personal name of God that we know as Yahweh. One of the earliest times that word is used. People of old knew of El Shaddai or Elohim, the God of majesty and wonder and mystery. But here was the God who says, I am who I am. Linguists tell us that those letters also form the basic verb to be. And some have suggested that God's name is more of a verb than a noun, because it is God in action for his people. That's what this story tells about over and over again. That name of Yahweh, that we know as Jehovah, or coming to us as Jesus, Savior and Lord. Moses heard all that, but he said, maybe send somebody else. That's almost a direct quote. Feeling so inadequate. Some of you know that I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, home of the Indians, where my dad was a football coach, establishing a winning record in that famous, triangle of coaches. As I grew up, my goal in life, I was going to be quarterback for Ohio State Buckeyes. What's so funny about that? Though not reaching much of stature, learning about competitiveness, about leadership, about continuing to the goal, or maybe as Pete Carroll would say, all the way to know how to finish. And isn't that one reason why we are here? We want to know how to finish. Strong and capable and hopeful in the midst of setback, disasters, inadequacies. It's not only Moses. It's not only John Schmidt. I did some research about some other folks who felt inadequate. Let's see. Way back in that Old Testament, Noah. He and his family saved at the time of the flood. the paragon of what it meant to be a man of God, was found drunk, inadequate, could not look God in the eye, had to cover it up. Then there's Abraham. I'm too old to go to the promised land. That phrase comes up in our talent search at churches. Send somebody else. I've done my time. Or Sarah. LOL. She laughed out loud when she heard that she was going to give birth and continue that covenant God made with his people. And Jacob, the father of the tribes, cheated to get his birthright. Are we beginning to identify? Moses. Some said it was just a stuttering problem that Moses had that contributed to his inadequacy. Gideon, that famous warrior against the Midianites. But wasn't it Gideon who was always asking for another sign? Show something for me. Disregard this record of faithfulness through the ages. Make it about me rather than about you. Elijah, the moody one who went off by himself just to see what the plan would be, self-centered. And Jonah, who ran from God and thought he could get away with it. David had an affair, committed adultery, but yet the one who was able to give us treasured psalms of redemption and hope. Those New Testament folks, maybe we're more familiar. Peter, who denied that he even knew Jesus of Nazareth. Thomas, who doubted. Paul, an accomplice to the murder and the execution of Christians. Zacchaeus, my hero, too short, had to seek out new ways to get to see who this Jesus was. And the list goes on, down to our very selves as we look in the mirror and talk to God and describe our inadequacies, our shortcomings. But take heart, my sisters and brothers in Christ. Listen once again to the dialogue that takes place between God, Moses, and the people. Moses grumbled, but God said, I will be with you. I will bring you out and will bring you to the promised land and lift the yoke of the Egyptians. That promise also for you. And Moses, in response and in saying to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you and redeem you. Redeem. Now there's a New Testament word spoken way back in ancient days. for your deliverance, for your redemption. And yet, the people grumbled. It's the last sentence in the chapter today. Is this the God who is among us or not? A question could be in today's paper, in our journals, witnessing the life and death and destruction and hatred and misunderstanding. Is God among us or not? We are here as recipients of God's faithful covenant and promises. We are here that we, like those ancient people of old, hearing that good news, when they tell of Israel, God said to Moses, tell them to move on. It was just a brief reference in the reading for this morning. But what a marvelous witness for us. When we're tempted to wallow in that guilt or insecurity, inadequacies, pointing the fingers at whatever else of chaos is going on, God told Moses, tell the people of Israel to move on. That's the message of deliverance today. Move on because the victory has been won. Move on beyond anything that would weigh us down and hold us in that net of despair. Move on towards that promised land, that life abundant that we declare in Jesus. One more word. The directions that God gave to Moses. Move on, let my people go. Always connected with the words, stretch out your hands. Stretch out your hands and divide the waters. Stretch out your hands to uphold and support your people. So as this message concludes for today, with me, I invite you, yes, stretch out your hands. Let me see those hands. You, like Moses, called to stretch out your hands over those circumstances and situations that hold us down and cause us to be slow of heart, even hardened of heart like Pharaoh. Stretch out your hands and maybe turn to your neighbor, to the left and to the right, to be a blessing for them. It's your hands, your example, your witness. And if, like me, your arms are getting tired, remember Aaron. Maybe hold up that neighbor's hand just a bit. That's what the story reminds us to do today, to uphold one another as we live that life in Christ. Remember what I said about seeing New Testament, or seeing Old Testament in the eyes of the new? Who was it that stretched out his hands? That's the story. Jesus stretched out his hands on the cross to die for you, to forgive you, to feed you, to give you new life, to redeem, to deliver you. And all God's people said, now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.